That's how I hope every episode starts, is just with the opening of a can.
What do you got?
What do I have? I have a can that I already opened for audio reasons. Hello, and welcome to, we're calling it Movie Baiters, not Movie Bait Club.
We'll see what people like.
So you want people to, after the first episode, write in and say, which do you prefer this podcast be called, Movie Bait Club or Movie Baiters?
Yeah, as long as the title makes it sound like we're talking about masturbating at first when we're really talking about movies, we'll go with any of those.
Well, you can masturbate to movies, obviously, but I think the reason we were calling it Movie Bait Club is because we were going to debate and give people an insight into our brotherly relationship, where we often argue and debate minutiae. It's just you one time, and you blew my socks off, and I don't like having my socks off with my shirt on.
You like getting blown, just not your socks off.
That's correct. You said, why are we doing this as a podcast? And it's like, oh, you want to do another production? All right, sure, let's do that. So welcome, audience, to Movie Baiters, as in debate. I don't know what else you could possibly be thinking, even though my brother has just suggested it's about masturbation. And we are going to be talking about a topic this week. We're going to be talking about a topic every week where we hope to get into an argument, but we're not mad at each other. Sorry?
That is the goal.
The goal is to, the goal is to debate, because our position is that people don't disagree enough publicly and then demonstrate that they're still cool with each other. Or at least the debates that people have are, they're talking past each other. Whereas we don't want to do that. We want to try to talk about something inane as movies that you and I happen to care about a lot.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to talk about Jurassic Park 7. We're not going to call it Jurassic World 4 or whatever they're going to call it.
Fuck that. They're going to call it Jurassic World, but I'm not going to call it Jurassic World.
Actually, the newest reports suggest that it might be called Jurassic City, and supposedly Scarlett Johansson has been offered a role, so they might not be going back with, like, the Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Well, that's good. Yeah, so I'd heard about Scarlett Johansson. Very recently, in the last few days, I had already heard that, you know, we were not going to be seeing Chris Pratt or pretty much probably anyone from
the World Series
or the first three. But that's fine, because I don't need Chris Pratt like in his fucking pet Raptors anymore. You know, like, I got and clone girls who aren't really clone girls.
Oh, yeah, because her mother grew her inside of her was the deal.
Some fucking thing. She was a clone, and then she wasn't. But she wasn't, like, regular either.
Yes. Well,
never yet already.
Actually, it's basically the plot of Why the Last Man, where somebody was able to grow a baby inside of themselves without being impregnated. Oh, basically,
it's all coming back to me now. My mind was stuck on the fucking 12-inch long locusts in a movie that's supposed to be about dinosaurs.
Now, I want to get back to that, but we should probably give the audience an idea of our bona fides. You and I are movie makers in the upper Midwest, and we make a lot of shorts for competitions and to try and get our feature scripts read or noticed because, hey, here's a short. You're more likely to watch a 7-minute movie than you are to read a 100-page script. Mr. or Mrs. Studio Executive, may or may not.
That's a lot of words to say wannabes, but that's okay.
I'm a wannabe, but your professional is in the commercial and industrial space as a... you are professionally paid. Your healthcare W-2 comes from being a DP and editor. That's fair to say, right?
I have healthcare, but I still had to pay a $25 copay for my PT today, so... It's not, like, the best.
It's pretty good.
It's okay.
Actually, you know what? You're right. I with my health care, I didn't have to pay for my PT.
And I have to do the PT for 6 weeks before I can get an MRI on my wrist.
You know what? You might be baiting too much.
We're baiting. Here I am baiting more. You.
Okay.
And holding this microphone with my bad wrist, I'm going to switch hands.
I'm glad to see you do that. So, on Movie Bait Club, we intend to cover this topic specifically from the position of there were two directors that were being considered for Jurassic Park 7, whatever it ends up being.
Well, one was announced.
That's right.
For like a week.
David Leitch was announced, and then he walked away from the project, as we've now found out. Yeah. And in that time, then Gareth Edwards was hired, and subsequent to that, in that, like, the week that happened, you and I were going back and forth pretty heavily about you thinking Gareth Edwards was going to be better and me arguing that David Leitch possibly could be better. So we're going to kind of take the argument from that point of view.
Yeah, I still think I still think Gareth Edwards is a better between the two of them. This is knowing that, you know, Spielberg's never going to come back and direct again himself. Between the two of them, I think Gareth Edwards is the better choice for this movie. I'm not saying the better director overall.
Sure.
I think he's a better choice for a Jurassic Park.
So to set up the parameters of the debate, then what we need to do is talk about what's important for Jurassic Park lore. I would say that's one of the topics we need to cover. And I wouldn't write this down, even though you were against that. So Jurassic Park lore is part of what's going to be important in this seventh entry to the franchise. I think from talking to you, I know that the movie having its own internal story that's interesting and good would be another factor, right?
Yeah.
So, works on its own. And, again, from having debated this many times over the past couple of weeks, would you say a topic that could be covered would be, like, how dinosaurs are used?
Yeah, I guess that's always on the table. I mean, you know, they're used as a theme park attraction in the first movie, or they're trying to, like, they're testing it out, right? They're vetting the place. So I guess, yeah, they're being used in that respect.
They've been used differently in the other sequels. They serve different functions.
They were trying to get them to use them in a new theme park on the mainland in the second one, right?
Oh, yeah, they were going to bring... Yeah, that's why they're...
Yeah,
Lost World.
Yeah. The third one, they're just fucking there.
Well, they're a threat.
They're a threat.
They're just a threat.
They're just there because...
They're a known threat.
You know, his douchebag takes his son paragliding or whatever the fuck near the island. And then, you know, their boat that they paid, like, some dudes, like, $5 to tow them on the paraglide thing. That's not the right word for that. Paraglide, whatever. I don't care.
It is paragliding. I don't know or care. But, yeah, they were trying to get close to the island. The fuck was wrong.
And I just know they were being stupid. And then they ended up on the island. And they're just there, you know, so there's no, and that, you know, that's fine. Like there's no villain. This is something we can save for later, but like, setting the table for later is like, there's no villain. There's no human villain in that movie.
Okay. So if there's two antagonists or not two antagonists.
Yeah. And you can argue like the first one. I mean, I don't know anyone who's going to argue that, like, fucking Jurassic Park 3 is going to be the gold standard for the franchise. Everyone's going to... Who's not going to say the first one? Who's not going to say that the first one is the gold standard? The gold standard doesn't have a human... The closest thing to a human villain is John Hammond. Like, just because he's a misguided, like, oh, I had a flea circus when I was a wee boy, and now I want to make fucking dinosaurs, you know? I'm going to talk to you about it while we...
No. You didn't want to make fucking dinosaurs because he specifically made them all female, but then some of them happened.
Yeah, we're not talking about fucking. Actually, it's fucking like the, you know, the adjective, but not the verb. But, like, I was a wee boy in the flea circus.
That's a great John Hammond pro.
It's not good. That's a different dial. That's a different, like, nationality that I just did momentarily.
What is his nationality? Is he Scottish?
He's got the thing where, like, the R's sound like L's. You know what I mean?
That made me think of I'm So Ronery from Team America, so...
No, he's not. John Hammond is not,
Hammond, yes.
I would say Scottish. Yeah, he sounds kind of Scottish.
Here's my logic for him, being Scottish, because his brother is James Cromwell, and... When James Cromwell is Brian Cox's brother in Succession, Brian Cox is Scottish, so.
Brian Cox is, well, Brian Cox is Brian Cox, but.
Wait, are Brian Cox and John Hammond brothers by the transitive property of James Cromwell?
First of all, James Cromwell, you're thinking of Fallen Kingdom, right?
I'm mentioning Fallen Kingdom. Because
James Cromwell is not his brother in that movie. He's his business partner. James Cromwell didn't have any accent at all. He's not. They're not brothers.
Man, in Fallen Kingdom is as has been discussed, our favorite of the sequels.
Richard, yeah. That's something to talk about, too. Fallen Kingdom had actually a decent director behind it. But we could talk about that more, too, at a different point.
Well, since we're going to be talking about directors, so here's what we have so far. The parameters of the debate should cover how Jurassic Park lore is used.
Yeah.
Does it work on its own as its, even though it's a sequel, a good sequel, you can watch without having seen the other movies, and it works on its own.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, additional stuff in there if you've watched all the other
bonus
movies.
Bonus.
Yeah. How the dinos are used, and then two antagonists or not, I would argue for the sake of talking about directors, we should also talk about the action and suspense.
Yeah.
And then the characters themselves.
Yeah.
Because as you've alluded to, you do not care for Star-Lord and his pet raptors.
No, I don't. I don't dislike, I'm not like one of those people who just hates Chris Pratt. His character just got the, here's the thing. It's the writing in the newer ones, the Jurassic World ones, the writing kind of sucks. So you can't blame, it's not Bryce Dallas Howard's fault that she's just this help, you know, in Jurassic World 2015, that she's a helpless damsel in distress who has to be saved by Chris Pratt all the time. That's the fucking writers.
She could have taken her heels off, for sure.
She could have done that, too. But even, I don't know, there are so many things wrong with the writing in those movies that I could just, I don't know.
So let's go back to the top, and I think writing is something that will snake through each one of these topics.
Yeah,
and you know that's kind of why David Leitch, we now know, left the project, is because he wasn't going to put his personal stamp on it. They wanted to hire basically a director for hire project.
Yeah, Jurassic Park 7 is going to be a director for hire job, no matter who.
I still feel, and I don't have, I guess I'm going to use this specific example of, you mentioned, is it J.A. Boyega is the name of the director for Fallen Kingdom?
J.A. Bayona.
Bayona, excuse me, I'm confusing him with the guy from Star Wars. So J.A. Boyega.
Maybe John Boyega, that maybe that's his directing alias.
It could be. There's images in Fallen Kingdom that stick with me. For example, when the island has the volcano blowing up and you see it's a brontosaurus, but a brontosaurus never existed, so it
might have been a brachiosaurus.
Oh, yes, thank you. Is it the brachiosaurus? You know, when that's
supposed to be the same one that they're, like, you know, fucking, he grabs her head and turns her head toward it in the first movie. The one they see when they first get there.
Oh, yeah. Would a brachiosaurus live that long?
I have no fucking idea. Do we really know?
Oh, yeah. I think they've also talked about things like how the dinosaurs were engineered for certain ways. But there's also, like...
All went out the window with Lost World because they were never even supposed to survive beyond a few weeks. Like, when they left the island at the end of the first movie, and you hear them in the distance, because they're fucking going to die in a few weeks because that's the game. Samuel L. Jackson, like, told us that.
Because they were eating...
Before he got eaten.
They were designed to eat a specific type of... They were eating, like, lysine or something.
And a lysine deficiency.
Yes.
So if they don't get the injection every however many weeks, they'd... he told us with the cigarette in his hand, like, they slip into a coma and die.
But then... And some of my knowledge is the book that infiltrates here, is they were trying to... But what happens is some of the females switch to males, and then they're actually procreating. So that's how the dinosaurs are supposed to have survived after the first.
Well, that's how they procreated. They weren't even supposed to be able to do that. And they were also, on top of that, supposed to just die if they didn't get the injection. So they switched their gender and procreated, for one thing. That's separate. And then they also, which they're there investigating that in Lost World. That's why John, he's already done it at the beginning, and Jeff Goldblum's pissed at him for it, for sending a team of researchers to go figure out. I don't know how they're going to figure this out, but why did they survive without their lysine injection?
Oh yeah, that's why Julianne Moore is there.
Is already there.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Jeff Goldblum, I can't believe you.
Hey, he's more charming.
Why would you do something like this? Because that's what they're there.
That was a great Jeff Goldblum impression. Jeff Goldblum, John Hammond. I did not expect to come into this with my brother making all the impressions that he from his wealth.
I got to work on my Richard Attenborough. Hey, you're thinking of his brother. His brother narrates all those fucking documentaries. David Attenborough.
Oh yeah, okay.
He's still alive, I think. Pretty sure. I gotta look him up.
I hope so. R.I.P. If not so. So from the perspective of your corner, you have Gareth Edwards, and in my corner, I have David Leitch.
Yeah.
So both of us care a lot about Jurassic Park lore.
Yeah.
And my argument for why David Leitch would be better at handling Jurassic Park lore is that he has more successfully created his own original stories and then brought them to commercial success, in the sense that he created John Wick with Chad Stahelski, and like obviously that is a successful franchise. Now it's somewhat limiting because I know you don't want your dino movie to just become a beat 'em up with dinos, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, he has absolutely had more success than Gareth Edwards. Gareth Edwards has kind of like been, like, he's had these little successes that get him to the next one, and then, you know, like, he's getting by, right? But he hasn't had his John Wick, right?
Sure, he made Monsters, and that got him Godzilla, and then the success of Godzilla got him onto Rogue One, where he got rolled, and then he didn't get to make a movie for a long time. And then The Creator came out, and I liked it, but I also a lot of people I respect found it stale and overly intellectual.
Yeah.
So I worry that the reason that he wouldn't be able to handle the lore as well is that he wouldn't make a movie that my 4-year-old and my 2-year-old will like, but also challenge, you know, my brother who's coming at it with a lot of, you know.
Well, what is a movie that your 2-year-old and 4-year-old would like?
They really liked Fallen Kingdom.
Which ones have they seen?
I know they've seen the first one and the third one.
They're not scared shitless, but I like the first stuff in the first one.
My older daughter is weird, as you know, and like very much enjoys Godzilla and King Kong.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is she doesn't have she can't put it together in her brain that like, oh, it would be absolutely terrifying if there was.
Really haven't. How does she react? Like, the first one, when the T-Rex fucking eats Gennaro off the toilet.
She thinks that's funny.
It's funny.
I thought it was funny when I was, you know.
I guess so.
I guess I was older when Jurassic Park came out, and I didn't see it till I was.
Yeah.
I was under 10, but I.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm probably scarring her for life. But at the same time, it's dinosaurs.
I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was 6.
And look how you turned out.
Yeah, I'm not fucked up at all.
No one's found the bodies yet.
Not fucked up.
Well, I guess where I was going with my daughter liking it is just that it should still be appealing. It should still be a popcorn movie while still being intellectually thought-provoking.
Yeah, like the first one is. That's the thing. The first one has that balance where, you know, it has just enough of a theme to it. It's not driving it home every minute. The scene, they're eating their fucking Chilean sea bass, and that's when Jeff Goldblum goes on his rant, like, you're so preoccupied with whether or not you could eat and stop to think if you should, and pounds the table.
Yes.
And the pounding the table is the, like, the main thing.
Is he getting the point across by
getting the point across? Your point is never made unless you have a horizontal surface that you slam your fist down on.
Can you name other examples of that in movies?
You can't handle the truth.
We'll fucking do an episode just on that.
On a debate of what are good examples of people slamming their fist and driving home the plot of the movie or the theme of the movie.
It might not have to be, it might just be driving home points because there's going to be fists slamming on table. There's going to be fingers and faces.
I love fingers and faces.
And there's going to be, like, metaphorically speaking, dicks slapped across faces, which kind of plays into our director.
Well, that's the thing, though, is because...
explain what a hey-listen is?
A hey-listen is giving someone a mushroom tattoo.
Well, it's like you walk in a room, and you fucking just take control of the room, and, like, there are ideas being bandied about, but you are like, hey-listen, and you do this with, like, a big metaphorical cock swinging to and fro. And so when it's a hey, listen, it's like, here's my forearm with a fist and I'm swinging it left and right down below my waist. That's a hey, listen.
And before you go into, like, describing specifically the way the phallus would be, that relates to directing, as both of us have directed.
Yeah.
And both of us have worked with the other one when the other one was directing.
Yeah.
And that is important for mastering, even at our level. Half a dozen people, but when you're managing a movie crew, it's 250 people easy that you have to be able to be in charge of while taking orders from a studio that's going to have maybe some different ideas than...
Yeah, and, you know, when I'm not one of those... I'm not, like, one of these incels who hates Kathleen Kennedy, but Kathleen Kennedy is in the picture here.
Oh,
yes. She was with Rogue One. I didn't see Rogue One. I'm not a Star Wars guy.
That's fine. I'll be the person to bless you and say that it's okay you're not a Star Wars guy.
But she is, you know, she's in the mix here. Obviously, steering a franchise in a certain direction, and I don't care. Like, I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I don't care. Oh, there's too many females in Star Wars. I don't care. Like, whatever the complaints.
I think you should watch that South Park episode where they make the argument.
Oh, I watched the Pandaverse.
Yes,
I watched like half of it. It was late at night. I was tired, so I didn't watch it. But, like, you know,
I basically, my point just being, I don't think that it's limited to the DEI of it all. That is the issue. Like, here's another example. Since we're talking about Kathleen Kennedy, I gave the example to one of our mutual friends today that when the, I think it was the Lego guys, were making the Han Solo prequel to the Star Wars original trilogy.
Lord and Miller.
Lord and Miller were doing their, you know, their thing where they do a lot of improv.
Lording and Millering.
They were lording and Millering. And they had, you know, Donald Glover in the cast, so theoretically that would work.
Yeah.
And Kathleen Kennedy did not like the way they were screwing around, going over time, because the way they make movies, it sounds like it's time intensive, and that was not appealing to them, and that's why they got fired and brought in, you know, Kmart, Steven Spielberg, Ron Howard.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I mean, I like Ron Howard, it's just that I don't, what is Ron Howard's style?
It says a Ron Howard film in the credits.
Ah, yes. That's, and I mean, hey, Opie, like, just super jealous of his career, but, you know, he's kind of like what I'm afraid of with a Gareth Edwards, is that he doesn't have enough of his own voice, or when he has used his own voice, it's not as successful.
Well, yeah, some of these, well, here's the thing, though. Ron Howard is different. Like, Ron Howard's been doing it for fucking... what did he first direct? Cocoon.
That's the '80s.
That's like 85.
Okay, yeah.
But I think he directed. He probably did shit for like Roger Corman. I'll have to IMDb it, but like, probably did shit for like Roger Corman. Like, or
after Happy Days.
Probably like right coming off of Happy Days. I bet he was directing shit for. I'll have to.
Check. Oh, okay, sure.
You know, stuff like that. But Cocoon was like the big one. Willow was after that. That was 88.
That was a bomb, though, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I mean, they didn't do a TV show of it till like 35 years later. But
yes, it's one of those things where sometimes the market gets it wrong.
It takes like four decades for it to catch on. Yeah, no. So, but no, he had a good. I don't know how you describe his style, but like he made good movies for a while, but then these guys, they get old. Everyone gets old, but like they get old, and like imagine when we're 20 years older than we are now. Will we do shit just for a paycheck? Probably.
I mean, we're doing that now, but
we do it every day. But like, I mean, talking about like you did something creatively that most people would be like, oh, I fucking hit a jackpot. I'm directing a movie. I'm fucking pumped. I'm going to put everything into this that I got. But then you do that for 20, 30 years, and then it's like, no, fuck, I'll do the fucking Da Vinci Code or whatever it was.
To my point, I feel as though Willow is one of those out there, like, hey, you did Cocoon, so now you can take a big swing, and then the big swing failed, so it's Apollo 13. It's A Beautiful Mind. It's Cinderella Man. Now, I like these movies. I just feel as though they don't have certain special je ne sais quoi that, for instance, you have associated with Steven Spielberg, who started this franchise.
Yeah, well, it's like I can't even tell you in words what Steven Spielberg's style is. It's that, in old Spielberg, it's those slice of life details. It's
the water in the cup kind of thing.
And, well, if you're talking about Jurassic Park, like, I'm thinking of, like, I don't know. It's hard to put into words, but that's why it's not easily replicatable. Replicable. If it was easy, replicable.
Yeah, I think it's replicable.
Whatever. if it was easy to put into words, then it'd be easier to replicate by other people. That's what I think. Colin, what's his name? Does
Colin Trevorrow?
However you say his name.
Yes.
Sorry, Colin, but like you know.
So
sure he's listening.
Yes. What I think it is with Steven Spielberg is that he builds tension in their ordinary sort of ways, like when in Jaws, when the guy's watching out on the beach and he sees like something start to get like, oh, he's got some concern. The way you see more people passing in front of the frame, and as it gets closer and closer on his face, it's a simplistic thing, but.
You're talking about the zoom in on Roy Scheider? Or?
Yeah. In Jaws, I just remember that from like intro to movies in college being an example of here is how Steven Spielberg builds tension and it's a way to teach people like, you know, long shot, medium shot, close up, while also talking about depth of field because you've got more and more people passing in front of our protagonist and the camera. As the tension is ratcheting up, and like these aren't things that people notice, but they feel it. They don't
subconscious.
They'll never remember what you said. They'll never remember what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
So that's like Steven Spielberg keeps people's attention, and that's why he's special. Whereas, not that, like I like Ron Howard. We should maybe do a Ron Howard.
Unless it's West Side Story.
Did you see West Side Story?
No, but it didn't get my attention to see it.
That's marketing. That's not Steven Spielberg.
Keep my attention.
I very much enjoyed his West Side Story because
Steve, we know you're listening too.
It's like when people learn complex dance moves, I want to see them do the complex dance moves with unbroken takes because that's where the magic is. And I seem to recall the staging being, you know, exciting. I noticed because of the end of the Fablemans, I've noticed more of, for example, where the background is in the shot. It's never in the middle of the frame. It's always, you know, upper third or lower third. And just so the dynamic framing, being able to see the whole, when people are doing musical scenes in that classic musical, all these things. And this is a good example of where our debates usually go from Jurassic Park to musicals. And what we've covered so far is our first topic, Jurassic lore. And, you know, you've got your feelings as to why Gareth Edwards would potentially handle the lore better. And I've made my argument for why. Well, I guess I should make an affirmative argument for why David Leitch would, other than John Wick.
Well, your argument was that David Leitch could have more. He'd have the clout to, you know, if it's the director, whoever is sitting in the director's chair. Versus Kathleen Kennedy and the studio.
Yes.
And the studio, look, who knows how much the studio is going to, like, they're here, go make a fucking Jurassic Park movie and call us when it's done.
I hope that's how the assignment is given. Go make a fucking Jurassic Park
movie. I don't know. Well, then there's also Legend. I don't know. I guess I hadn't looked to see for sure, but is Legendary Pictures still in? Like, they only came on in the Jurassic World era. Legendary Pictures, I don't even know if they existed in 1993. But they were not involved in the first three.
I guess the thing I would say in their favor is that a lot of sci-fi and comic-type lore has been handled by...
That's got to be an influence, too, of the direction that the... Like, look, I've been entertained by all the Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom and Dominion, but they're not good movies.
They don't work on their own. And going to the second area of
the... No, it's not that. I mean, like, I can sit down and be... That's the thing. They are just as... They're entertaining, and they're just as entertaining on their own because they don't... Because they are so surface level that they are entertaining on their own. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to have seen Jurassic World or Fallen Kingdom for Dominion to be as entertaining as it is. It's still a dumb movie, you know?
Well, say more about why you think Dominion is dumb, because that's where this whole thing has been coming from, is that you feel very much let down and you're not alone.
Well,
that...
Dominion is like the fucking Halloween Ends of the Jurassic Park series.
And
like, instead of Corey Cunningham, we got fucking locusts in a movie that's supposed to be with dinosaurs. And not only that, The end of Fallen Kingdom, there are so many things. The end of Fallen Kingdom was, first of all, I hate the fact that raptors have names now, but Blue was like barking, whatever the sound raptors make, at, you know, fucking houses down below. I'm like, oh shit, like, I want to see that. You know, what's going to happen there?
You mean when dinosaurs run rampant in the woods?
Yes.
And what you got was one Fast and Furious chase.
In the interim, we had Battle at Big Rock, which... Sorry, Colin. This is good. Like, I'll give Colin points for
the short film that was supposed to get us excited.
I'm going
to
give C-Trev, like, points for Battle at Big Rock, because that's good. And, like, that's what I want to see, a feature-length version of something like that. And that's what I was hoping the next movie, which didn't have a title at the time, was going to be. Instead, what is it? We start off... And then, leading up to the movie, we're seeing these clips of, like, a T-Rex at a drive-in theater... And then it's like, just kidding, that's not in the fucking movie.
It's in the extended version I have.
I've watched on Peacock, and it's the same thing that came out before the movie was released. It's just like, is this, you know, jerk off in your face, you know.
Some people call that a prologue, but yeah.
It's a prologue, but it actually doesn't tie into, like, if you had that included in the movie, it doesn't fit the rest. Because the movie opens up.
By the very nature of, they were able to cut it and release it in theaters and no one missed it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, guess what? Here's a Vice story about how the dinosaurs run rampant have been... We took care of it. A lot of them died off on their own, and the rest we rounded up, and they're on a fucking sanctuary with a Steve Jobs fucking lookalike who, like, fucking puts his hands together and bows and says namaste after every sentence. And it's the Dodgson guy from the first movie, but it's not the same actor because that actor is a pedophile and he's in jail.
What? But,
yeah, you
know, the one that what's his name? Wayne Knight gives
the one who, like, gets out of the cab and leaves the door open and the cab driver is all pissed and he goes like that.
Oh yeah,
that guy. Yeah, that guy is locked up.
That's awful. I've been watching Quiet on Set with Leanna.
I was just reading about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That fuck from Head of the Class who. Sorry, Dan. I'm sure you're listening, too. Oh, wait, no, we don't show feet in this. So, he's not listening.
Well, as it turns out, Dan, you know, not a convicted pedophile, like two of the people that worked for the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's a foot file, whether they're...
He
probably has a cap on the age. Like,
that's kind of like the Ferris Bueller principle thing where you find out that guy's weird. The Seventh Heaven guy is like...
Seventh Heaven guy? Holy fuck. Seventh Heaven guy, that was like pretty out in the open.
Let's keep it prehistoric instead of pedophilia. But, can I hit on the locust thing? I do think that going to the first point of Jurassic lore, that is relevant to the series because... How do they make the dinosaurs in the first movie?
Well, yeah, it's genetic engineering.
Off of blood.
Yeah, sure.
But what I think the sixth movie did is take the concept of how genetic engineering would be used, and in our, you know, transnational corporate world, it would be used for one transnational corporation to do, you know, better business than another corporation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a topical thing, like, where it's eating the crops that, what's the company? It's not InGen anymore, but they bought InGen.
Yeah.
That they don't own. I get that. I like the message there. I just don't want it in Jurassic Park 6. Like, I don't, like, go back to the first one. Again, I said early on, if you ask them what the gold standard is, no one's going to say, well, it's fucking The Lost World or it's Jurassic Park 3. It's no, the first one is the gold standard. So what was the first one about? And what should you consider the franchise to be about? And it's about, I mean, it's dinosaurs and humans together for the first time.
I would argue that you've stated that it is about, they were thinking so hard about whether or not they could, they never stopped to ask themselves if they should, which is an even more, you know, it's an even simpler
question. It's a broader question.
Yes.
Should we make locusts? You know, can we make locusts and should we make locusts?
Could we use our corporate advantage to better our corporation while not thinking about the effect it would have on the world?
But, like, can you imagine, like, I can't even imagine a standalone movie doing well based on that concept. Like, here's a movie about genetically modified fucking locusts. You know, like, you know what I mean? So they took a concept that would, no one would go and see that movie. And then they just shoehorned it in to a Jurassic Park movie, because I don't know, like, that's,
I think it's one of those things where I Colin Trevorrow, when I've heard him interviewed, has unique ideas, like his, that one movie he made, Book of Henry, that lost him the Star Wars job. He talked about how, like, he modeled that movie off of A New Hope, and like when the kid is getting saved at the end, it's supposed to be like the run on the Death Star at the end of A New Hope. And so going to where our debate topic is, you know, David Leitch versus Gareth Edwards.
Yeah.
I feel as though that Colin Trevorrow had good ideas, kind of like his Star Wars movie. His Star Wars 9 sounds better than the Star Wars 9 that we ended up with. He might have these good ideas, but he's been kind of rolled. So, like, it's like, no, that's cool. That's cute, Colin, that you want to talk about how corporations would use genetic modification to their own ends. We need to see raptors chase the guy who plays Super Mario on a motorcycle.
In Malta.
And yeah. Don't get me wrong, I love that sequence.
I do, too.
It's just
props to him for pulling off all this fucking storyboarding and all the shit that he, like, yeah, that deserves some credit. But, like, overall, like, I don't want a Jurassic Park movie to be about, like, that's a spinoff of Jurassic Park. Like, if they start using the genetic modification for other things, that's a fucking spinoff. That's not Jurassic Park 6. You know what I mean?
It's not taking the idea of, it's not asking a new question on, iterating on the theme of they wanted to see if they could and didn't stop to ask if they should.
Yeah, but he's speaking in the moment. He's speaking about when they're eating the Chilean sea bass, and Jeff Goldblum is saying that he is talking about dinosaurs. Like, it's a potent and valid theme that applies to a lot of things scientifically, or not even just scientifically. But
for
his movie, he's talking about dinosaurs. You know, like, and that's the tone for the movie, and that's the tone for the franchise. He's not talking about. If you want to apply that to locusts, do it in a spin-off. Like, say Jurassic Park Presents and have it go straight to Peacock.
Sure. And there is Camp Cretaceous and the new spin-off.
Yeah, make it a cartoon for, like, five-year-olds with locusts.
My five-year-old, or she's not five. But anyway, when she was like two or three, she really liked that show. She's graduated to, like,
to Gennaro getting eaten off the toilet.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that,
thank you,
David Leitch would be able to make something more cohesive based on his previous work while getting in new and interesting ideas. I agree with you to a point that Gareth Edwards has had some very cool and interesting ideas, but because he got rolled on Rogue One, because the creator wasn't successful from a financial point of view yet. It still could be if, you know, it plays on streaming real well for the next 2 or 3 years, I hope. You know, because he hasn't, like, because the market hasn't received his ideas in a way that, you know, has gotten him work in the past 6 years, I think that David Leitch would be more interesting, because if he were able to bring his unique action spin to it, he could still give you realistic, practical excitement, which is a completely different topic to talk about, like CGI versus practical, and still make it cohesive. Because kind of what I'm hearing from what I don't like about Dominion is that there's cool parts, but they're not all cohesive together, and they don't belong in what I think a Jurassic movie should cover.
Yeah, the story went off topic, especially given what was promised at the end of Fallen Kingdom. Like, oh, we're going to see dinosaurs, and like, no, we got taken care of. They're all in a sanctuary, and then they just happen to end up at this sanctuary because they're trying to, one, rescue the not-clone girl.
Heck yes.
She's
like half-clone.
Whatever, the test tube. Self-implant, whatever the fuck.
Self-implant. Again, this concept I've seen, the first time I saw it was in A Why the Last Man, which came out in like the mid-2000s.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure they're just stealing something from Brian K. Vaughan, and I can't remember his co-author.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
That, and then I do like the fact that Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard and then Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum got their own separate movies for like the first two-thirds of it. So you could see the old characters on their own. I just wish it was a better movie that they were in. So they're going to infiltrate the you know, to try to stop the locusts. Could never tell, like the Steve Jobs lookalike guy, fucking Captain Turtleneck, was like, at times it sounded like he wanted the locusts to be stopped, and other times he, like, the reason he kidnapped the girl, the not clone girl, it sounded like he was going to use her to put an end to the locusts, which is something like that. He's going to use something from her.
Oh, he just kidnapped her for, you know, plot reasons, MacGuffin.
Plot? That's stupid, though.
Yeah. I'm willing to meet you at
Colin Trevorrow, or however you say his name, and his partner not writing a good script.
The antagonist, to antagonist or not to antagonist, you're arguing it's not done well in six. So then I would argue, what has Gareth Edwards shown us that would make he would be good at introducing an antagonist? And even though, like, I would argue, hey, you're not gonna like this example because it's from something that we all don't see as being intellectually at the same level as the first Jurassic Park, but Hobbs and Shaw introduces a villain to the Fast and Furious universe that is interesting, cool. They don't pay it off in any other movie, which is annoying, but at least within the context of how could you have Jason Statham and The Rock fighting someone? Well, Idris Elba is...
Oh, he's the villain.
He's the villain, and it is, again, that is an entertaining movie that is a different flavor than John Wick, a different flavor than the Fall Guy he's got coming out. So some of this, to me, is just, I would bet on the guy who's had more movies over the past, you know, couple of years, but...
I would bet on the guy who's had more success getting a little bit more of his vision into it when he's up against Kathleen Kennedy and whoever at Legendary and whoever at Universal.
Sure.
But do I want him to... Do I want that person to get their vision? Do I think they have the... Do I think they have the vision that I want to see in the movie? And at that point... it doesn't matter if they get their vision across, if they win in that tug of war between Kathleen Kennedy and Legendary and Universal, if I don't think that their vision is the right fit for what I want to see in a Jurassic Park 7. And I don't think, between the two of them, from what I've seen of both of them, Gareth Edwards' output, just going by the output, not by their clout,
sure,
his output feels more in line with the balance between popcorn and intellectual, you know, presenting some ideas like the first Jurassic Park. His output feels more like that.
I also would argue that part of this is never going to work unless you have a novelist at the level that Michael Crichton was at back in the 80s and 90s, you know, writing a whole novel that is being adapted.
I disagree. I mean, we have the next best thing. We have David Koepp writing the script. Who wrote the script for the first two? And, like, especially The Lost World, I mean, that says based on the book, but it's totally different from the book.
Yes.
So it's not like the book was a major factor in the movie.
At least you get that scene from the first book that they didn't include in the first movie where the little girl
did. Yeah, they just moved that to the beginning of the second one.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, not to discredit Mike Crichton, but like, you just need a good writer. And I think David Koepp is a better writer than Colin Trevorrow and Derek Connolly.
So the argument I'm making is that a 400 or 500 page book is going to contain more ideas than a 120 page script is ever going to contain.
Yeah, but it eventually has to be a 120 page script to be a movie.
100%.
It's got to get cut. The book's got to get cut down anyway. So what ideas were left in the screenplay for the first Jurassic Park? It was what's going to happen if we have humans and dinosaurs face to face with one another? Should we do it just because we can do it over Chilean sea bass?
Have you ever had Chilean sea bass?
No, but that's what they were eating.
I'm going to make it a point for us to go out with our significant others and to see you eat a Chilean sea bass.
Right before we go to see Jurassic Park 7 on like July 2nd next year.
Oh, yeah, because it's coming out.
Yes,
because it's already got a date, and I'm sure the script is tight. They just need to lock down those locations over in London.
I guess.
Because they're shooting it in London, right?
Maybe. That's where they did a lot of the last one, I think.
Yeah. I don't think we've covered how dinosaurs are used and why you think Gareth Edwards would be better at using dinosaurs than David Leitch would be.
Here's the thing. Everything I've seen from David Leitch, to be clear, I'm like excited. I'm going to see The Fall Guy when it comes out. That looks good.
Yeah.
That looks like you have different people for different jobs. Like David Leitch looks like the guy who to direct The Fall Guy and make The Fall Guy an entertaining movie. I'm going to go see The Fall Guy. What I've seen from David Leitch, what, he directed the first John Wick?
And then he co-directed the first John Wick.
Chad Stahelski
took it over after that.
All the other ones. John Wick was just a lot of gunfighting.
Yes, that is.
And text messages that pop up on screen every time.
That is a classic revenge movie. It's a...
Well, that's great, but that's not what I want in Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah, and you shouldn't limit it to that. Obviously, what I was going to argue with The Fall Guy is that because he's got more of an ability to use practical effects, he's someone who could maybe bring the grit and kind of realism back into the world. Like, he'd be able to make me believe the dinosaurs are real. Like, you kind of believe the dinosaurs. I know they touched an animatronic that sort of made me believe like there was a dinosaur there, whereas obviously every dinosaur did they use a puppet in Dominion? Like, weren't those wasn't one of those Triceratops a puppet, maybe?
Yeah, anytime they were, like, touching it, anytime, you know.
I think that, so my argument for David Leitch over Gareth Edwards and how the dinosaurs would be used is that I believe David Leitch could have characters touch dinosaurs, use them in an action scene in the way we haven't seen them before, whereas Gareth Edwards, I know, can do scale, and he can show me exciting things with that scale, a la Godzilla, a la monsters. But I never believed Godzilla was real in Godzilla. And since then, obviously, he's become more of a cartoon in that series.
Yeah.
As he always does. Because when he was first introduced in the 50s, by the 60s or 70s, he was a cartoon.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to predict what either person... I'm just saying, like, Gareth Edwards' output so far feels more like what I would want the output to be in a Jurassic Park movie. That is trying to hopefully get back more to the roots of the first movie. I think this past week, even read Steven Spielberg is trying to be more hands-on with this one because he doesn't care for the direction the series has gone.
Sure.
So he's going to try to be more hands-on. I'm hearing that it's lower budget, and a smaller scale story. You know, like
Jurassic City.
Yeah, I hadn't heard Jurassic City, so you mentioned it, but like, so that's that. Yeah, that's it. Because you know, from what I've seen,
I'm going to go back to your diss of David Leitch and John Wick. And again, you haven't seen John Wick 2 through 4,
no.
Which I believe is to your detriment, even though I forced you to watch some of the scenes from 4 when we were waiting on some cards to copy over a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the reason he made that movie first with his, you know, partner is because coming from, as our friend who is a stunt coordinator calls it, being a fight monkey, you know, he was more comfortable doing the setting those kinds of things up with actors, and he could bring in A-list talent,
yeah,
like Willem Dafoe and Ian McShane, because they were willing to buy that this guy was going to make something realistic.
Yeah,
that was that. And I my argument again is that he's moved beyond that with Bullet Train, Fall Guy, and it's gotten, he hasn't had something so sci-fi like Gareth Edwards has, and like the Jurassic series is. But I sense this a lot, and specifically from artistic people, and that this is less you than just I'm going to castigate artistic people, is that because he's a jock, you think, oh, his ideas won't be as good.
He is a jock?
In the sense that, well, like,
I don't know.
He's a stunt coordinator. So, like,
oh, yeah.
At the high school lunch tables, he's sitting at the jock table because he's playing sports. And at some level, I get the sense from theater kids, art kids, that, like, oh, if we perceive you as being from the other lunch table, we're going to not like your ideas. And I'll give another example of this from our own community in the upper Midwest making movies. We have a friend, colleague, who wins at a local filmmaking competition a lot. But, you know, he's a normal football-loving, beer-drinking kind of guy. And he has stated to me that when he went to art school, he felt this very specifically. People would look at him and go, what are you doing here? You're a job. You know, like, you don't need this like we need this. But it's like, no. The point is to make something that people want to give up 2 of their hours for.
Yeah.
And so let's focus on that, not getting your childhood trauma figured out.
Yeah, no, it's like the output. You got to look at the output. All you can go by is the output. And everything I've seen from David Leitch is very much focused on fighting. And it's really well done. You showed me that super long one-er.
From Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde. It's fucking really well done. And he deserves a shit ton of credit for that. And the choreography and the camera, everything is like really good. How does that apply to a Jurassic Park?
A, being able to do a one-er. We haven't seen a one-er in Jurassic Park.
I don't care about a one-er.
Let me, please.
I mean,
listen, Taylor Swift, let me finish.
You've done right.
Again, so I think from how the dinosaurs are used to the action and suspense, I think the guy who's got more practical set experience is going to be able to make me believe Superman can fly, make me believe someone is touching a dinosaur and that dinosaur is doing something I haven't seen a human do with a dinosaur before, to go to your point of what is a Jurassic, like, it's called Jurassic for a reason, the logo is, you know, the dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could see if you had a big dinosaur, if you had like the chase from the first one, where it's chasing after the Jeep, the T-Rex is chasing after the Jeep.
Sure.
It must go faster. If you had that go for like 5 minutes and it was a one-er, that would be fucking cool.
And it still has to tell a story that's germane to the theme, yeah, that gets stated.
So if that's, you know, that's like, okay, yeah, if that's the main thing I want to walk away with from a Jurassic Park movie, I would say, yeah, David Leitch. But, overall, I feel like Gareth Edwards is going to, you know, he does this, you know, sci-fi stuff, but that seems a little bit more grounded, and he just seems to be paying more attention to characters than what I've seen so far from David Leitch. David Leitch is like, these are people who are there to get either beat someone else up or fucking get beat up. And that my main character, I'm going to show them walking, like the opening of Atomic Blonde, you showed it to me. It's just her walking down it's all style and no substance. Like, it's here's some music, here's her in sunglasses walking, and then, like, you know.
Sure. Tell me something.
Really, how you introduce the character? Like, I don't think he has that much of an interest in characters.
And that was a title sequence. That was not the character introduction. The character is that introduction is in the next scene where they get into the interrogation for Atomic Blonde. Atomic Blonde is a very, you haven't seen all of it, but it's a very, I would argue it didn't do well commercially because the story gets a little complex and, like, goes back on itself a lot. That's neither a good nor bad thing. It's just, it's not, I don't notice that being to a lot of people's taste, and it goes from, like, a double cross to a triple cross. That's not to emphasize characters, but to our last, you know, debate point of, okay, so I would argue that being able to work with a broad range of characters as David Leitch has, and I remember the characters and I remember things about them. Yeah, it's dumb. John Wick cared about his dog because his dead wife got him that dog. But I remember that. Tell me something about any character that is not Godzilla from Godzilla.
Well, I don't remember. I mean,
it's a 10-year-old movie at this point.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston's at the beginning. I can tell you Kick-Ass is in it. His sister from Age of Ultron is in it. Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
The younger Olsen. That's not one of the twins. Maybe Elizabeth Olsen?
Elizabeth Olsen.
It's Elizabeth.
Just Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay.
No, but that would be a writing thing, though, if you're not caring about characters.
I'm saying they're not memorable. I remember a lot about Charlize Theron from Atomic Blonde as a character. Yes, a lot of it is internal. It's not externalized in the sense of you're kind of assuming what she's thinking based on inference from a mixture of situations and then how they contrast a scene from the future with a scene from the past. Is an argument I would make. Again, it's not a movie you've seen, so it's not really fair to make. But, like, even though you haven't seen Bullet Train, am I right? You haven't seen Bullet Train. You know which Brad Pitt you're getting by the poster, because he knows how to create characters in a sense. And you're getting funny Brad Pitt. Just so
I mean, he beats people up.
He doesn't. He's not actually very good at it. He's an assassin who's, like, constantly screwing stuff up.
Okay, but I'm still sure, like,
there's a lot of fights, yes.
Here's the thing. A stunt coordinator directing movie, like, if you're getting a stunt coordinator directing movies, they're going to have an emphasis on fights. That's not to say that they don't have any good ideas that are outside of fights, but they're going to have an emphasis on fights. And that's exactly what I said however many minutes ago. Like, it's an emphasis on fights.
You're saying that you believe David Leitch wouldn't be as good at developing a character-based story based on output, because his stories have primarily involved characters fighting one another.
I'm saying maybe he could, but I haven't seen it yet.
And where I'm coming from with the, I think he would be able to integrate practical effects with memorable characters. First and foremost, that I remember his characters from his movies, I see as a bigger deal. Like, I kind of remember the characters from Rogue One, but it's what that's not really fair, because one piece of, like, all Star Wars stuff is, well, that person's a Jedi, that person's a robot. So, like, I remember the character. Am I remembering the character because of that, or am I remembering it because this director specifically is good at character and story and helping, you know, ingrain those things with me?
I mean, if there are samples of David Leitch films that I need to see that aren't focused on, like, oh, here's a fucking really cool fight, and it goes on for 5 minutes and the camera doesn't cut or it doesn't look like it cuts, like, I will watch those and maybe change my opinion. But right now, everything I've seen from him seems to be focused on fight choreography.
It is, and this would have been something different that he would have been doing, obviously.
But how do you know? Like, that's the...
Well, because he hasn't had too many sci-fi movies like this. Like, I would argue, yeah. Hobbs and Shaw is a little bit sci-fi.
And Gareth Edwards has more of a background in that.
He has more sci-fi, but he's less successful at getting...
Because successful is like how the... Where we're talking about success, it's like...
The market is what I'm referring to.
The market and, like, people...
critical audience.
People show up for it.
Hey,
like, the creator got good reviews, did it not?
it got good reviews and it didn't do well in the market so far.
So great. Well, that's has nothing to do. So that's people not coming. That's people not giving an original IP a chance. That's not going to be the case with it. That's automatically not the case with the Jurassic Park 7.
You've got a certain built-in audience, which is why. And that's, again, that's, I would argue that's because of the market, you know, doing what the market does. Well, because we're getting a Jurassic Park 7 instead of, like, an adaptation of the PS2 Turok, which would be, you know, hey, do something different with dinosaurs.
What are they doing, Turok?
I just remember it's a video game where they have that people ride around dinosaurs and fight.
Yeah, see, I don't want to fucking see that either.
My point is that because of the market, we get a seventh entry to something instead of something unique like the creator.
Sure. But that has nothing to do with that. That doesn't have any relevance to the argument of him being commercially successful. He hasn't been so commercially successful with his original ideas, but that doesn't mean his ideas aren't good for. Won't be a good fit for an existing IP that people will show up for.
So then going back to the Colin Trevorrow point you made is that he might have good ideas, but their ability to execute on them.
It's actually the flip side of the Colin Trevorrow. How do you fuck do you say his
name? Trevorrow? I think. I don't know.
C-Trev. It's the opposite of the C-Trev dilemma, which is that maybe some good ideas, shitty execution. And he's kind of just like, he's like a human AI, like fed a bunch of Amblin movies and spitting out what, you know, here's what an Amblin movie that kind of is aping Spielberg looks like.
He's trying to make
it successful because it was an IP because it was Jurassic World. If you took his ideas and his writing and his directing and put it, did Book of Henry do well?
No, it lost.
He comes back and does Dominion. And it makes $1 billion because it's fucking Jurassic Park 6. So it's the opposite of that, where I don't think the, I'm not arguing he wasn't a good director of Dominion because he did Book of Henry. I'm saying he's not a good director because I don't think he's a good director. But
take that, C-Trev. We know you're listening.
Yeah. Subscribe. So it has nothing to do with, like, how successful have they been and commercially? It's like, there are plenty of other reasons why ideas don't click with, why films don't click with audiences. So I don't care that Gareth Edwards hasn't been as commercially successful as David Leitch, because I would rather have, it still comes down to the output. What I've seen from Gareth Edwards feels more like what I would want in a Jurassic Park, especially if it is supposed to be more like the original, where it's a better balance of popcorn and ideas. You know, they're only touching on a few ideas, like the Chilean sea bass scene and a few other times. Other than that, it's a popcorn movie. They're not driving it home minute after minute. Oh, we shouldn't, you know, about the theme of dinosaurs and humans coming face to face. It's just laid out and it's left there in the background. And then you get to have a popcorn movie that's well-directed the rest of the time. That isn't doing stupid shit like having trained raptors. And like,
we know we can train animals. Why wouldn't we try to train dinosaurs?
I mean, you could train some animals, but I mean, like,
genetically modified animals.
Here's the thing. It's not about the realism of training it. It's about taking something that was the villain, like one of the most terrifying things in the first movie, and making it into like a domesticated pet. That's what I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the realism. We can speculate that maybe if there were dinosaurs, you could train them and you could like hold your hand out them and look at them and glare at them and shake your head no, like Chris Pratt does a million fucking times across the three movies, and that might work. But you're taking another Spielberg property, well, then train the fucking shark from Jaws. And now that Jaws is like a docile, and you give him a name.
Have you not seen Jaws for the Revenge?
I've seen them all.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you, here's a repitch for what they should have done in World instead of Raptors. And I'm stealing this idea from the Meg 2, The Trench. And I did not see all of that movie. I came in 20 minutes late, got up several times. But there's a guy who can get the Megs to stop on his own command or something. I guess at the beginning of the movie, they explain how they train. Kind of your issue here of like, oh, the big scary thing from the first movie is now someone's pet in the second movie.
That's stupid. Yeah,
I don't believe that idea was received well in the in critical spaces, as I recall, and from my parents who like that kind of movie. But what if Chris Pratt had the same relationship, except Blue was with a T-Rex, so it's an even bigger dinosaur?
That would be even dumber.
I know.
I'm sure it's what C-Trev jerks off to going to sleep at night, but like...
So what I use that argument to say is that, okay, so you would just like it better if he had a smaller dinosaur he had trained, and I'm like... I what smaller, would it be better if it were
train
smaller?
The fucking compies, the ones that attacked the little girl.
In Lost World, yeah.
Like, but no, the whole, it's more about the idea of taking something that was scary and making it, just totally neutering it. And now it's got a fucking name, and it, like, understands you, what you're saying, it understands English.
Well, what I think most people will take from this is how much Jurassic Park has hurt you in five movies by not living up to the promise of that first one.
Well, no. I mean, I like parts of all of them. Yeah, I like parts of all of them. I do just want something to be a little more, less focused on, like, they had good action set pieces in the first three. And I think they didn't have to be huge and big, because the danger felt real because you cared about the characters. So if you want it to be exciting when you're not caring about the characters because you didn't put the time in to care about the characters, to make the characters that you care about as a filmmaker, then all you're left with is big, oh, they have to have a fucking dinosaur fight at the end of every one of these now. And everyone's just running around, ducking under fucking tails and ducking shit, getting smacked. Like, I don't care about that. I want fucking three people I care about in an RV that's hanging off a cliff. And the glass is cracking. That's what I want.
Lost World.
That's Lost World. I want that. Or I want two people I care about in a fucking Jeep in a tree. I don't need dinosaurs fucking fighting. And 10 people I don't give a shit about fucking ducking under tails.
Okay, let's run down kind of the areas of the debate and kind of talk. We might not agree on who, like, did David win or did Gareth win? On our, you know, where we got six different things here.
I mean, we'll never know. There's no way to know for sure who won, because we're never going to see David Leitch's Jurassic Park 7.
I hope that Jurassic Park 8 or something is David Leitch, because the argument I was going to make is that I think people like, you know, the brothers of Kathleen Kennedy, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, work best when they're working with, like, put them with Carpenter Harrison Ford, and that's magic when you put some nerd with a jock. So I would like to see jock David Leitch come in, and he's more than that, I'm sure. Just like Gareth Edwards is probably, I have no idea what the man looks like. He probably works out a lot and is very healthy. Point being that I want to see a jock with a nerd. Steven Spielberg, like, putting his hand on the shoulder of David Leitch versus two nerds who are going to get too nerdy, like how I perceive Gareth Edwards, since he only does sci-fi, whereas you're kind of accusing David Leitch of only doing fighting.
Everything I've seen, like...
It involves fighting because that's like a specialty. You first have to get known for a specialty before they let you try other things. Like, he had to make his own thing to get to try to do a Fast and Furious spinoff. And now he is going to graduate from Fast and Furious to the Jurassic series. You would see that as a graduation, would you
not?
Well,
he's not, because he's not directing Jurassic.
Because his integrity was high and he wanted to, you know, be able to put more of his personal stamp on anything that he has the juice in Hollywood to be able to do that right now.
Well, so after The Fall Guy, we'll see what his next movie is, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fighting.
Probably will involve some hand-to-hand.
And that's what I'm just saying. I'm saying that's most of what I've seen from him. That's the focus, and that's not what I want.
You're basing some of this on trailers and not having seen all of the movies. What was the last one you saw? Because you didn't see Bullet Train, you didn't see...
Well, the last thing I saw was the scene from Atomic Blonde.
That's a good point. Anyways, well, let's hit it from the top. Jurassic lore. I'm willing to give it to you on Jurassic lore. I'm willing to give it to Edwards that I... somewhat intellectually agree that I believe he would come with philosophical ideas and concepts that might be beyond what we've seen from David Leitch's output thus far. Since he's mostly been either creating something that's very close to him or adapting things that he was able to be brought on as, you know, someone who could do cool car chases and, you know, that kind of thing. So let's give it to Gareth Edwards on the lore. As far as...
lore meaning, like, I mean, that's...
what matters to you in addressing
and writing stuff, but, like, what are they going to do with the dinosaurs this time? Like, if I'm worried that if it's all about action, you're just going to come up with the concept that is going to be a vehicle for action scenes.
Yes, resulting in the dinosaurs. So that would be a different topic point, since we did have how dinosaurs are used. And I was going to argue for Leitch to win that because I believe he would actually be able to make me believe a dinosaur is in the scene. Now, you're arguing for the more broad concept of how it's philosophically being used in relation to the overall arc of the narrative of this 1/7th, you know, entry in this franchise.
I still think David Leitch would, like, find a use, would want to drive the use of the dinosaurs towards something that would create what's going to be the coolest action scene and what's going to have people fighting.
So I'm gonna...
he would be the one, between the two of them, he'd be the one who's going to have dinosaurs with fucking machine guns strapped to their backs. And that's what I think would...
You know, based on...
he's the one more likely to do it, I'm saying.
Sure, since we know that that is a proposed concept of having velociraptors dropped into, like, a drug lord's compound, and then they kill the drug lord people with
it. And it's all done in a 5-minute one-er.
Well, having seen the creator, I do see a version of militarized dinosaurs that... Gareth Edwards might use over David Leitch. I just think that if it were done at all, it would be better done by the action guy. But you disagree with the idea of dinosaurs being militarized in that way, which we didn't really touch on in the debate.
Only because I think the reason the filmmakers would do it would be to be a vehicle for mindless action. Yeah, I wouldn't care, you know, like if they made me care about the characters and the characters, it's a small group of characters that I care about who are caught up in all this, but if they just want to have a bunch of fucking, if they just want a whole movie that's basically like the ends of the Jurassic World movies with,
two dinosaurs fight and it's like...
Jurassic World and Dominion, what do you know, both directed by C-Trep, have dinosaurs fighting each other and characters I don't give a shit about ducking under CGI tails. Like, that's, if they want a whole movie of that, and that's why they make, you know, dinosaurs as weapons, I'm not on board with that. That's going to be stupid.
Sure. I do think that there's a philosophical concept you could approach the dinosaurs with that still iterates on the theme of, you didn't stop to ask if you could make dinosaurs fight your wars for you. You were so busy trying to see if you could get your dinosaurs to fight wars for you, you never stopped to ask, should you be using the dinosaurs?
Well, that was, yeah, but you can't, that's specifically about bringing dinosaurs back, period.
Yes.
And then it's, once, now they're back, how do you use them? And I, you know, and I want them used in ways that are, well, like Battle at Big Rock. Like, you know, that it's just a family, like, camping, right? Like, you know.
Down to earth.
Down to earth, not like.
Grounded, as you used for Edwards earlier.
Like, here are some like real life. You don't have to go. It doesn't have to be like, oh, they've got bazookas on their backs, or T-Rex has, you know, fucking grenade launcher strapped to his cock. Like,
all these are good ideas.
It's sure. I'm sure David Leitch would love that. But like, you know, a small group of characters I care about in a very grounded and, you know, grounded scenario of danger, there's plenty of opportunities for scenarios with danger between dinosaurs and humans. You don't have to put a grenade launcher on a T-Rex's cock to have danger from dinosaurs being, you know, alive again.
There are steps to the point of having a phallus-based rocket launcher that I think we would be missing if we jumped right to that. So for Jurassic Lore, we're giving it to Gareth Edwards. For Works on Its Own, I was going to argue that it should be Leach over Edwards because Edwards has never made a movie that's worked on its own successfully. I guess Monsters got him to Godzilla, but Godzilla is works on its own. But
financially, though, you're talking financially.
I was saying basically that we've seen David Leitch have, you know, wholly unto themselves movies, whereas, like, for instance, one of Gareth Edwards' you know, biggest points on his IMDb would be Rogue One. Why is Rogue One interesting? Like, I could argue why that movie is interesting on its own because I like that movie, but you are aware that that's a, you know, one of the newer Star Wars movies that takes place around the time of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
So it's got the classic ships and stuff, so it's doing a little bit of that, but I don't think that works on its own from a marketing perspective. If you'd seen the movie, I could argue, I think, separately why I still think Leitch would be... One of the things is that I feel Edwards is too dour, whereas Leitch at least has... He has enough zip to get you to the end, at least, where, like, most people are going, this is... Like, you don't want a movie, and I fear this is what Edwards might do, is you want a movie that, like, I can take my wife to, and she's going to be interested in. And I see that more successfully with David Leitch movies then. So Works on Its Own, it can be interpreted in multiple ways. Since this is a sequel, we're arguing it has to work on its own. But I think Works on Its Own could also be interpreted from, like, is this someone I can take my significant other to, my children to, my parents to? That's Works on Its Own in a different way than just, does this sequel have its own internal story? Would you agree or disagree?
That it should work on its own?
Well, ways to interpret Works on Its Own. Basically, I'm just trying to get Leitch to win this category because it's 1-0 for Edwards right now.
Works on its own. You mean, like, we're not talking about box office. We're talking about...
That would be a completely different vector of measurement of works on it. Like, did this movie make as much money as the previous entry? Would be another way of looking at it from just a market perspective.
I mean, any movie should work on its own. That's why I don't like fucking Marvel movies, because none of them work on their own.
You haven't seen enough to...
I've seen enough to know that I have no fucking clue what's going on the few that I've seen, because I didn't see the ones, the 10 before.
That is a good topic for debate in the future, is what is a Marvel movie that I can show you that then I can argue that worked on its own? We'll save that for the future. But on the topic of who could get a Jurassic movie to work on it on its own, Leitch or Edwards, my argument is Leitch has shown, from a market perspective, that ability. But I'm also arguing I find Edwards' movies to be somewhat dour.
Yeah, that's different from working on its own. That's totally different. No, it is. That's a totally different...
I'm saying that will affect audiences, and it will keep it from working on its own, because you're more partial. What you've been arguing is the tone that Gareth Edwards would bring to the tone in terms of how ideas are approached and that sort of thing. And you think, you know, Leitch is a little bit more slapdash doing it for the...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in terms of tone of the film, somebody in between might be the better bet for crowd pleasing.
Probably.
But as far as working on its own, that's a different topic of a sequel working on its own. That's totally different.
That's how we originally meant it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of a sequel working on its own, I would argue we've seen more examples of Leitch being able to pull that off because he's directed other people's sequels. And, you know, even though Edwards has gotten some of those shots, like, he made what is essentially a intermediary movie in the Star Wars saga, because it takes place between the third movie in the Skywalker. Point being, it's just, it worked on its own, but it doesn't, because he didn't get to complete that movie. Tony Gilroy supposedly did. Michael Clayton.
Yeah, well, that's a totally, and that's an issue specific to that movie, so.
Well, I'm saying that because, again, my whole thing has been because of where Edwards has been rolled before,
yeah.
He could get rolled, he's more likely to get rolled than Leach, who he already has argued.
Yeah, like I think we said before, like, Gareth Edwards has taken the dick to his face on his movie. Like, he doesn't have the clout, so he's got a face full of mushroom stamps, and David Leitch has a mushroom full of face stamps.
Yes, that is the line you said in my kitchen the other night. Yeah. That was still great. So, works on its own. Let's go toss up. Still 1-0, Edwards. How dinos are used, you're arguing on philosophy. I'm arguing on how they'll practically be used within scenes, so I think we'd end up in another draw.
Well, I think use them however you want, but make me care about the characters, and I don't want to see 50 anonymous
military people
caught up in dinosaurs being used as weapons. I want to see 5 people I give a shit about, and in an offshoot of that, it can be an offshoot of bad guys trying to use dinosaurs as weapons. It could be that, and then what's an offshoot of that that leads 5 characters that you care about in a scenario that's a part of this bigger thing that's going on, and that's who you care about, and that's the thing that's happening. That's the difference between, you know, dinosaurs fighting and random anonymous people getting hit by tails. Or 5 people I care about in an RV hanging off a cliff.
Again, those are great examples. So my argument, you know, we're just trying to toss up who's won each one of these, how dinosaurs will be used based on what would you say the argument is for how Leitch would use them, and how, like, if you had to boil it down? Because we're trying to give...
Well, I can only guess, but I think Leitch would use them in a way, and that's going to be the most... you know, action oriented, and like in John Wick, it's John Wick versus countless like anonymous bad guys.
I do care about that bad guy that he kills in the spa.
Sure, but like most of them are just random guys with guns. I think David Leitch would want the dinosaurs used in a way that would lead to scenarios like that. I don't know exactly how it translates to dinosaurs.
What you're trying to say is that you don't like Jurassic World because they kill a lot of faceless people, correct? You don't care for Jurassic World 2015? Would be an assessment of...
I don't like its execution. I like the idea of the park being open.
Okay. Yeah. As do I.
And, like, I mean, yeah, the Malta sequence, as much as I like the Malta sequence in Dominion, it's like, oh, here's a guy in an electric scooter and T-Rex or whatever the fuck eats him. It's like, I don't feel that. I don't care about the guy on the scooter in Malta. Like, I would rather, and it's great action.
But you're not arguing the positive of why Gareth Edwards has, based on his output from either Monsters, Godzilla, Rogue One, or The Creator, as to why he would use specifically this sci-fi thing, the dinosaurs of the Jurassic series, in a more, you know, basically, can we make it 1-1? We just got one of these.
I'm thinking back to Monsters. It's not like it's a favorite movie of mine or anything, but I did see Monsters way back when, and it just seemed like the sci-fi aspect came secondary to the characters, and like I don't remember the characters' names. It's from like that's 2010 or 2012. You know what I mean? But like, the sensibility there was like characters first. It's how it's about the characters reacting and responding to the fantastic threat and the sci-fi element. Not, oh, here's the sci-fi element. We're gonna watch dinosaurs fight, and some random fuck is gonna get knocked over by the tail.
Yes, you keep coming back to that example. I guess the question being, are you willing to give any of the first 3 areas of debate to Leitch? I'm willing to give I'm willing to give Jurassic Lore to Gareth Edwards, but I would argue somewhere between Works on Its Own and I would argue more for Works on Its Own. David Leitch has that one over Edwards based on ability to execute, based on output.
I guess David Leitch has not directed a franchise movie yet, so everything that he's done that's successful is its own.
No. He's directed Hobbs and Shaw. That's a spin-off.
Oh, that's right.
And then Bullet Train's based on a book. Fall Guy is
I don't really get the works on its own. I mean, what are we talking? Commercial response is irrelevant because it might have not been marketed well. It came out of the wrong time of year.
Sure, we have to take the financial off the table, which would definitely help Gareth Edwards, and then look at how a story that this person has been the shepherd of as director has, you know, there is either.
I feel like it's a draw because, like, other than maybe Gareth Edwards, like, having to do, you know, stepping into, like, Rogue One, it's part of a franchise. They both have, like, a franchise. Like, well, he did Godzilla, but that was kind of, like, the beginning of its own, it's a rebooted series,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, both of their franchise movies, Hobbs and Shaw and Rogue One, they had to, like, gel to a certain amount with existing mythology in both franchises.
And my argument would be that David Leitch being able to take on both the, you know, possible toxic masculinity of Jason Statham and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, him being able to master those two and get them to do what he wants while bringing in Idris Elba means that he'll be able to make something, whatever it ends up being, Jurassic 7, he'll be able to make that work. Because if you're able to tame the Rock, you can tame a dinosaur. Whereas, I'm sorry to say
this. We're talking about an actor
Gareth
versus
Edwards,
a CGI creature.
Gareth, well, it's really a joke. Gareth Edwards got replaced by the guy who wrote Michael Clayton on his movie. And I just feel like that's, you know, why don't we just have Steven direct the next movie instead of getting Gareth Edwards, who's like a wannabe Steven Spielberg? At least David Leitch has something different to add.
He's less of a, I don't think he's a Steven Spielberg wannabe. C-Trev is a Steven Spielberg wannabe.
Sure. In the sense of, he would probably prefer, do you think he's more of a Ridley Scott when it comes to sci-fi?
Who?
Edwards? Gareth Edwards. Yeah, I kind of like, I love Ridley Scott, but now thinking about his sci-fi entries, they're more in line with how I feel towards. Because I think you're right to say, hey, Gareth Edwards doesn't want to be Steven Spielberg. Colin Trevorrow does. Who does Gareth Edwards want to be like? Gareth Edwards probably would look more at like the sci-fi career of Ridley Scott and want to do that.
But I feel like Gareth Edwards has more in common with like Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, but that's not a good, like,
I don't care. I'm just saying, we seem to,
sure. Yeah, I mean, he's not, Neil Blomkamp is a contemporary of his. He's not from the previous generation and someone that influenced the.
Oh, you're talking about, well, yeah, I don't know if he has. I mean, look at his, he's been pretty much primarily in sci-fi. Steven Spielberg himself was never primarily in sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's done, Close Encounters.
He made the sci-fi realistic. He made broadly appealing sci-fi. E.T. is a sci-fi.
Yeah, but that's not all. That's not his thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Because he also does, you know,
and I guess
movies, Holocaust movies.
And I guess maybe that's what I'm looking for is like somebody who dinosaurs weren't their thing. Fucking, he had done, you know, a nature run amok type with Jaws before. Like if that's the closest thing to Jurassic Park of his previous filmography,
yeah.
it was not his thing. And I guess that's what I'm getting at when I say I want somebody who, where they're not going into like, oh, what's the next fucking animal gone crazy movie I'm going to make? I did a shark, now I'm going to do dinosaurs. That's not what he was doing.
Sure, and that's not why.
Where I worry about someone like David Leitch, well, what's the fucking next fight scene I can set up? I worry about that. I'm not saying that he can't do anything other than fight scenes, but from what the output I've seen so far, that seems to be the focus.
What I like about, and I'm going to talk about why Hobbs and Shaw is a cool movie, which is going to sound dumb, but you take these two humans, David Leitch and The Rock, or sorry, Jason Statham and The Rock, and the Idris Elba's thing is that he's kind of like a superhero because he's both injecting himself with something in his like body that makes him able to use this superhuman suit. So he's, like, able to take more hits and that sort of thing. So he was able to introduce an antagonist into a story that I was interested to see, well, how are The Rock and Jason Statham going to handle a superhero, like a literal superhero, fighting them with, you know, some sci-fi that they don't have. It's just there. And what's funny about that movie is that one of the things he had to manage was that the Rock and Jason Statham had to get the same number of hits on each other and on bad guys. So just managing for that kind of BS while still making an entertaining movie. And I wasn't thinking about that while I was watching it, you know. And I've just explained to you, hey, that's an interesting concept for an antagonist, right? Because we haven't seen the Rock's fight. We've seen him fight animals, but we haven't seen it. When he fights superheroes, he's a superhero. But we haven't seen him as a human fight someone who's almost a superhero because of, you know, sci-fi.
That's, you know, in the context of that, interesting enough, I don't see how it translates to what I want in a Jurassic Park movie.
Because, so we talked about the first three. You're willing to give, it sounds like you're maybe not willing to give Works on Its Own to David Leitch, but I'm willing to give Jurassic War to Gareth Edwards. I'm kind of arguing in the sense of antagonists, since we've seen antagonists used poorly in the Jurassic franchise.
I say don't have an antagonist. That's a human antagonist. The first one didn't have one. The third one doesn't have one.
The second one does. The fifth one does.
Only, yeah, and you know, sixth one. I think does. If you can, I don't think you need. It's not the end of the world if you have one, but I think by not having a human antagonist, it's kind of like when they say, like, you know, when you're working, when you're making a film with a low budget, you have to get creative, and you sometimes better ideas come out of that those limitations.
Well, like how they couldn't use the shark robot as much on.
Yes, yeah, so you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like if you don't have a human antagonist, I think it forces you to have the conflict. It's too easy to just take all the you know, the conflict that you're trying to convey and just package it up into this sort of stock villain character. And that's what too many movies do. That's what the Jurassic World movies have done.
DeLofrio,
like, sauntering around.
Yeah.
Fucking in a cliche manner. Nothing against him, but, like, the way he's written in Jurassic World and then with the character in Fallen Kingdom and then the Steve Jobs motherfucker.
It sounds like your criticism is that they're one note, and I agree that all the bad guys you've named are kind of one note.
Yeah, well, also though, but going back to like the original theme of the franchise was, it's humans who did this. It's humans who did this because they could, not because they should. But we're past that now. And if the question is, what does it look like when humans and dinosaurs come face to face? You shouldn't need a human villain for you shouldn't need to supplement that with a human villain.
Seems like we should have argued for whether or not what I would argue for, and we're not arguing in favor of our directors right now. We're arguing about the very concept. A good antagonist could make it more plausible to achieve the thing that you want, which is three characters you care about in a situation with dinosaurs versus two dinosaurs, CGI dinosaurs fighting each other or a bunch of nameless people. It would be, it being, you know, destroyed by dinosaurs, it would be easier to, there's good examples of contrasting ideas. If you were able to introduce a villain, and I will argue there is a villain in the first one, John Hammond.
Oh, yeah, I've said that he's the closest thing to a villain, but
he's a villain you agree with. So, like, good writing is an antagonist where the antagonist has a point.
Where they are, like, they did this for a reason they thought was good. That's fine. He's not sauntering around, swaggering around like the guy in Jurassic World. He's not doing namaste and bowing to people and kidnapping not clone girls like the guy in Dominion. Like, it's different.
I like Gareth Edwards movies, I don't think there's an example I could find of, like, here is a clear opposing force, even take it out of a character perspective and an antagonist. But, like, other than obviously Godzilla is an opposing force, but he's seen as more of an ecological disaster than someone opposing You know, I guess there's the bureaucrat in Rogue One who's kind of opposing the ragtag team of the Dirty Dozen we're following. But I've got a stronger inclination that, and I guess we could tie characters to what does an antagonist accomplish into one thing, or separate them as you have by saying don't have an antagonist, have some sort of opposing force. That is a bad idea for use of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, the opposing force in Jurassic Park is the dinosaurs want to fucking eat you and you have to not get eaten. I mean, that's what it was. And, I mean, and yeah, and the moral question of, like, here's this guy who's rich and he figured out how to bring dinosaurs back to life and he maybe shouldn't have done that. You had Nedry. You had, it's greed, I guess, because the Dodgson, you know, is getting him to steal the embryos, and that's what leads to everything. So if there's gonna be one person responsible for everything, it's you know, Dodgson and Nedry.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say what's Wayne Knight's character in
Nedry.
Nedry, that's right. Thank you, Nedry. I thought you were saying Edry. Who's Edry? Yes, Nedry. Newman, as I always think of him.
Yes.
Newman's kind of like the son of the mafioso in John Wick, in the sense that Newman gets offed pretty early in a cool way in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And that is basically analogous to how there's still 40 minutes left in the movie when there's the spa fight in John Wick. But you care about that because we as the audience purely understand, hey, that's the guy that killed John Wick's dog. Hey, Newman stole the dinosaur stuff.
Yeah, that's why it's satisfying when he gets his ass fucking eaten by the Dilophosaurus.
And so I think that at least in terms of antagonists, that's a point for Leach, because we can point to a direct example that relates to the original movie. That is what you want to replicate the most in the seventh movie. David Leitch has been able to do that with his antagonists. In John Wick, and I'm going to argue for the story of John Wick here and how...
Did he write John Wick?
Yes, he wrote John Wick with Chad Stahelski.
Okay.
And my point is just that we're arguing on, you know, we've figured out these six areas. Who would have directed a better Jurassic Park movie? Obviously, we're going to see the Gareth Edwards one. I hope David Leitch gets a shot at the eighth one, and then we really get to talk about who did it better. You know, you have not convinced me that Gareth Edwards will make a more interesting movie than David Leitch would, based on, and I will make an argument for, I'll just go down the line. You know what? No, I'll give you Jurassic Lore. I do think the nerd would do that better based on him making sci-fi movies. I think David Leitch has made more things that work on its own, so that's why I argued for Leitch. How dinos would be used, I was looking at that from the perspective of, I believe that a man could fly. I believe the dinosaur is doing something I've never seen a dinosaur do before, more with Leitch than I will with Edwards. We just talked about how there's a direct correlation between that stupid kid in John Wick 1 who kills the dog and Wayne Knight in Jurassic Park, so that's why I argue antagonist.
That's superficial.
I'm going just through the list.
Yeah.
Action suspense, clear winner for me is Leitch, based on, you would say, oh, it's just fights, but it's not just being able to.
All I've seen is fights.
And car chases. But
And I don't need car chases in a Jurassic Park game.
Well, you need the concept of, you just talked about how you want you'd like to see the T-Rex
thing where it's like, okay, if I could see David Leitch's style being for that.
But again, I'm just trying to go down the list of what were the topics of the debate as we're coming to a conclusion, you know, and I still say the characters in David Leitch movies are more memorable than a character. I can't even remember much about John David Washington from The Creator. I've only seen it once, though.
Well, that's probably a writing thing, but...
Which he wrote it, and that's kind of what David...
Gareth Edwards is writing the movie.
Exactly. He's a director for hire on this.
Yeah.
And that's why David Leitch left, is because he wasn't going to be able to influence...
I don't want to see text messages popping up on screen Russian accents or text
each other. That's a 2014 thing.
And I don't need to see that in a Jurassic Park movie. I don't need the constant car chases. I don't need, like, oh, it's a real person, and then it transitions to a CGI dummy when he gets hit on the hood of the car, because how many times has he fucking done that?
You're talking about specifically why you're making a negative case against my argument, but for the conclusion, I would argue that it would be most helpful for the audience to hear you make a positive argument for the parameters of the debate. We've already given, I'm willing to give Jurassic lore to Gareth Edwards. I do think he would come with more detail. The equivalent of a novel, I think him. Although I'm sort of impressed by the novel selection that David Leitch when it comes to Bullet Train, because it's based on some Japanese thing I'm unfamiliar with. So just, you know, at the conclusion here, make your argument for why Edwards for these out.
What, for every one of these?
Yeah.
I think the work on its own is stupid anyway, because
we shouldn't have had it in there. Fine.
Has to do with marketing, and that has to do with, and they're making a franchise movie. Like, there are going to be certain boxes you have to tick, and it's like, I mean,
sure. How
do you actually expect from a seventh movie, in the series? How dinos used? I think Gareth Edwards would, use them in a more grounded way. I don't think he would use them as spectacle, just from what I remember from Monsters. Godzilla might be a different case. I mean, I didn't care, you know, Godzilla was also director Ryder. I'm sure it was. But I just remember that being treated with a little bit more, like, you know, that was coming out around the time of, like, the Transformers movies, and then, like, this definitely felt different than, like, a Transformers movie.
What I would compare that to is, like, how in the 2000s we had superhero movies that were, you know, bubblegum and very bright. And then, what's his name? Nolan came along and made a gritty. And then we got gritty superhero movies for a while. Kind of how, like, we were getting these sci-fi Transformer, you know, those were very kind of silly bubblegum, not as serious, and then you came in with, like, the gravitas of Godzilla, and that brought, oh yeah, we should have those types of movies have more gravitas instead of being silly like the fifth Transformer.
Yeah, so I think he would use dinosaurs in a way that would be more conducive to, like,
substance over.
Here's
stuff.
How a small group of people we care about. Here's a grounded way that they are in danger from dinosaurs. It doesn't have to be a fucking drug lord. It doesn't have to be, you know, Jurassic Park trying to be like a Fast and the Furious movie where they're on, like, six different fucking continents. Like,
again, you're making a positive case for Gareth Edwards. So instead of antagonist, opposing force, what are the odds that the characters will be up against? Why is Gareth Edwards better at giving an opposing force in a Jurassic movie? I've made my case for, I just think Leitch has...
Yeah, so, well, you keep saying more interesting villain. Like, I don't care about interesting, but, like...
I said opposing force, that there will be philosophical ideas. I made a correlation argument between John Wick 1 and Jurassic Park 1.
Yeah.
And then separately, I made just the argument that I can, like, the opposing forces in his movies are something that stick out to me more than the opposing forces in Gareth Edwards movies, except for the Star Wars one. Obviously, it's the Empire.
Well, and it's a franchise movie, and it's like you had to do.
Yeah,
no, like, I think.
Skip, like, over topic.
No, I'm not gonna skip. Like, I think, like I was saying before, it's easier to take the things you're trying to convey, like, and package them up into a villain, like, who's twirling their mustache sort of person. Like, that's easier to do. I don't think he would do, like, I don't recall Monsters having a villain, you know, like, it didn't need one. Like, if you're going to try to be true to, like, you know, keep it grounded. And, I mean, everyone, like, in real life, who's your biggest villain in real life? It's usually ourselves in different ways. Right. I mean,
like, I know you're your own.
We cause a lot of our own problems. A lot of our struggles, our conflicts are internal. And, like, you don't need someone standing there with a, you know, big curly twirling mustache to be the villain.
You're arguing for man against self for a movie that you've previously argued is a man against nature.
No, I'm not saying man against self. I'm saying the more grounded conflict is smaller in scale and doesn't need to be embodied in another person. And like part of the struggle in Jurassic Park is like it is somewhat internal, because it's like even though the people there who are like the characters who are trying to survive, they aren't the ones who brought dinosaurs back, but they are, you know, by association, it's kind of we did this as humans.
Yes. I would still argue Walt Disney is the villain of, you know, the first Jurassic Park. John Hammond, you're on the money with that, but you're arguing something different by going, they don't really have like a villain in the traditional sense of villain when we think of villain.
A villain who is like the final boss battle at the end.
Yeah, and that would be dumb anyways. That's not what you want. I do think there's an argument to like Sam Neill is the protagonist of the first one when you argue, and Jeff Goldblum's and the Academy Award winner Laura Dern. I almost forgot her name. What's her character's name?
Ellie,
duh. Yeah. I'm glad you remember names and I remember like actor names better. So basically the antagonist is Hammond and Sam Neill is the protagonist.
So it's going in. Okay. So like, yeah, I just think it's like you don't need to have a human villain in these movies.
But you're arguing for why Gareth Edwards will be able to make an opposing force more interesting than David Leitch would be able to make an opposing force in a Jurassic series entry.
Has David Leitch made a movie where he didn't have to have a human villain? Was his opposing force always embodied in a human villain?
Yeah, I think that every...
Probably has been, right?
Sure.
And I'm saying I've
seen... So you're making the argument that Edwards would be able to have a less on-the-nose type villain / antagonist and do some... Yeah, sure, that's the argument you've been making the whole time.
Action, suspense. I mean, that's a tough one. Because, like, David Leitch is good at action, but I didn't find any of it suspenseful from what I've seen. It's good action, not suspenseful.
On the subjective, you didn't enjoy it, but obviously he's very good at action.
He's good at action. He's good at action, but there's more to action than just like fight choreography. Like very good fight choreography is good fight choreography, not suspenseful.
Yeah, and the
5-minute take in Atomic Blonde, great fight choreography and camera work and everything, not suspenseful. Not suspenseful.
You saw it dislocated from the movie, so that is why it's not suspenseful because you don't care.
If you watch the RV scene from Lost World, you don't know why to care
about the little girl and stuff, though, just like you don't know why to care about the guy.
It's impacted lesson, but... it's still suspenseful, like watching the glass crack and like, are they gonna fall?
I don't think you're being as you're making again a negative case for David Leitch when you're supposed to be making a positive case for Jeff Edwards over David Leitch. It kind of seems like I'm willing to give you Jurassic lore and you're willing to give me action and suspense.
I'm not giving you suspense. I'll give you action.
Okay. That's fine. So you're willing to give one character a specific
brand of action that I've seen, which is fighting.
And again, that's why I'd like. I would again argue that there's the grounded fighting, and then there's fighting that takes place where some of the people are super heroic, and that means that it's a little bit broader, if you will, or more sci-fi. And then there's also the variable of like. Serious fights to not serious fights, Atomic Blonde to Bullet Train, and then Atomic Blonde to Hobbs and Shaw. These are different types of action, but you only have the frame of reference of the one couple of scenes I showed you in Atomic Blonde. Characters would be the last one. You want to make a positive case for Gareth Edwards over?
I can't make a case for either one. I mean, like, they're because that's writing. So, like, that's the writing.
Yeah. So when it comes down to the directors, we neither one of us has really moved each other, but it doesn't matter because we're going to see the Gareth Edwards version of this movie, and we're going to get to see David Leitch's new movie in a month and a half.
Yeah, and that might maybe that'll change my opinion on him, like depending on what is in that movie.
We should release this closer to then.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now why wait? But
yes, Movie Bait Club. Thank you for joining. Should we plug anything at the end?
I don't know. What do we plug except our butts?
Our own movies. But yes, that's what making our own movies is about, is plugging our butts.
Yeah. I don't know.
Very good. Then thank you again for joining either what will be called Movie Baiters or Movie Bait Club. You decide.
I say Movie Baiters.